Just before I got up, David here in the front gave me a picture. And it says underneath, we must all strive to be useful engines. And it's taken from, obviously, Thomas Tank Engine. So that was really encouraging because it's kind of a bit of a summary. So I'm going to attempt to coordinate visual aids, chocolate, and a clicker. I'm not sure this is, but here we go. So this motivational thought started, oh, it works, yay. When I read this prayer by Susanna Wesley, and I said to Steve, I've read this really brilliant thing. And he said, do you want to preach about it? And I said, no, not really. But I'm here anyway. So a little bit from the, as you know, I rely heavily on the University of Google. So Susanna Wesley is known as the mother of Methodism. She was the mother of John and Charles Wesley. And in all, she had 19 children, nine of whom died in infancy. And she educated them all at home, including the girls, which was quite advanced for the time. And her husband was a church minister. And at one point, he was imprisoned for financial mismanagement. Now, I wasn't able to find out what he did. But the church sent along a rector to replace him. And she wasn't very impressed with him, was Susanna Wesley. So she set up her own Sunday school in a neighbour's barn, eventually stealing most of the congregation. And she was gathering 200 people at one point. So she really was quite the woman. She was also a bit of a parenting genius. She trained her children so that if she had her apron over her head, she was not to be disturbed. Now, you have to give kudos to a woman who can train a toddler to do anything, let alone leave you in peace. It's pretty difficult to carve out a toilet trip solo, let alone time to pray. So kudos to Susanna Wesley. She was obviously quite the woman. Anyhow, this is what she prayed. Help me, Lord, to remember that religion is not to be confined to the church or the closet, nor exercised only in prayer and meditation, but that everywhere I am in your presence. So may my every word and action have a moral content. May all the happenings of my life prove useful and beneficial to me. May all things instruct me and afford me an opportunity of exercising some virtue and daily learning and growing towards your likeness. I think we can all give that an amen. So this is very 18th century. Obviously, she was a woman of the 1700s. But she's talking in essence about our 168. And if you've hung around Life Church for any length of time, you will have heard us talk about our 168, which is obviously the number of hours in our week. She talks about our faith not being confined to the church or closet, our homes, but it's exercised at work, at football training, in the playground. Our faith is not just what we pray or read or think about, but it's also about what we do, what we say, and how we behave. And our every word and action does have a moral content, full of the fruit of the Spirit, we hope: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control, those things that we know really well. And everything can be an opportunity for us to grow, to be more Jesus-like, to exercise fruit of the Spirit, or learn something. I went to a conference in 2019, and I came across this quote. Dr. Edmund Locard was a pioneer forensic scientist, and he died in 1966. But he summarized this as the basic principle of forensic science. Every contact leaves a trace. Now, I'm not talking about getting you to star in some particularly grisly episode of Silent Witness, you'll be pleased to know. But how often do you think about a contact that you've had with someone? Perhaps something they said to you comes back to you, maybe hours, days, weeks later. How often do you think about someone's reaction, good or bad, that you saw some time ago? What about their attitude or their behaviour? You see, what we leave behind really does make a difference. At this conference, I heard an amazing talk by a Christian female governor of a men's Category A prison who had used just this approach to bring about significant changes in the atmosphere of the prison. Obviously, the men's Category A prison, it doesn't get more hostile, more aggressive, more dangerous than that. But understanding the challenging backgrounds that the inmates had come from, she developed a culture that she called every contact positive. Not overtly Christian, it's a secular world after all, but she impressed upon the prison staff the importance of positive contact on men who had experienced very little except rejection, deprivation, and labelling as trouble and failure. And she shared some stories of the impact that this had had on some of the prisoners who'd begun to believe in themselves, who had begun to access education. By no means was it successful, but it was successful for some. I remember also working with a Jamaican nurse some years ago. I'm formerly a nurse. She was from the Windrush generation, a kindly Christian lady. The unit was a critical care unit with over 100 staff. Busy, noisy, stressful, there was lots of opportunity for friction between staff. People would thrust open the staff room door and say, "You'll never guess what she's done now." And Pearl would raise her hand and she would say, "I don't want to hear it." Most of the time that would be frustrating because you really wanted to rehearse your hurt. But she would follow it up with, "If I don't hear it from you, I won't hear it about you." Which was a bit wounding, actually, because she knew that other people would be talking about you. You didn't need to hear her preach the gospel to see her faith. It was in how she treated people. Even ardent atheists had to concede that something was different about Pearl. And they would comment on it. And the unit was a very different place when she was on duty. Our contacts, words, attitudes, and behaviour leave a trace. As I was preparing for today, I saw this. I think we've all become accustomed to these little phrases to live by posters. It was on the wall of a meeting space that I was in recently. Sounds really rather lovely. Leave a little sparkle wherever you go. But let's be honest. There are days when we're more likely to leave sparks than sparkle. And there are probably people who deserve the sparks too. And then there are people who wouldn't notice our sparkle if we did leave it, or if they did, they'd just complain about the mess. We are called to live out our faith in every one of our 168 hours. We've talked about it in church for years. It's part of Life Church DNA. But rather than sparkle, what about leaving a little bit of difference behind us? Here's one difference. The story of the woman caught in adultery. So this woman's been found in a really compromising situation. And the teachers of the law bring this woman to Jesus and they quote the law at him. They expect him to back them. How could he not? It's the law of Moses after all. Jesus doesn't enter into a theological debate. He doesn't try and win an argument. He just acts differently. He takes this woman caught in a compromising situation and he subtly but powerfully points out that the teachers of the law are really not that different. In this moment, he is powerfully countercultural, and he leaves a woman free of condemnation, changing her life forever. We don't need to win detailed arguments necessarily. It's great if you can. But we can raise the poor, refuse to condemn, have lunch with sinners, show kindness in the face of hostility. This is a really familiar verse. It's one we cling to when times are tough. I bet we could all quote the essence of this verse, if not quote it verbatim. It's like our anchor. We anchor ourselves. We hold fast to this. When things are hard, we talk about, I know there's nothing in anywhere in the world that can separate me from the love of God. But if this bit is true, the bit in green, then it's also our supply chain of grace. It's not just something to hold on to in the storm. It talks about God uses us to minister his grace to a world in need. This tells us that there's no disruption. I'm going to call on my assistants here. This is where you get chocolate. Back. This is my very simple way of demonstrating us giving grace, chocolate, to a world in need. Do you want to fill it up? Fill up and go more. I give the chocolate to the youth. They hopefully give it to you. I understand there may be a bit of taxation involved. They've all told me that not all of it will make it. There's a bit of consternation in the third row in the middle. Third row in the middle, yes, I think they need a chocolate delivery. Anyone else in need of a chocolate delivery? Oh, some people at the back there. Nelson and Leah on the out there need some too. This is where Maria's going to go. No, that didn't go. I'm really useless at throwing. Can you tell I was a hockey player, not a netball player? Sorry. So this is a bit of a silly example, but as I said, God uses us to minister his grace to a world in need. This verse tells us that there is no supply chain disruption to this grace that we give to the world. We are literally heaven's just-in-time delivery plan for all of the people, the needs, and the situations around us. So if every contact with us leaves a trace and nothing separates us from the love of God, then every contact with us is potentially a contact with Jesus. Like yours, my diary is really busy this week. Here are some numbers about my week. Anybody want to hazard a guess at what the 23 might be? Yes, 23 meetings in my diary this week. How about three? Three meals a day. Yeah, it could be. And that, I've got three. I'll be ferrying a teenager to an activity three times this week. 131. Coffees, it may well be. It might also relate to the number of gins I'll consume on Friday when I get through the week. It's my estimation of the number of people that I will be in contact with this week at work. And one, well, I've got one Christian colleague, Bina. Hello, Bina. She sometimes watches. That's 131 opportunities in my diary, in my 168 this week, to leave people with a trace of something that's not me, or 131 opportunities for God to use me and teach me. There's nothing special about my week. It's busy just like yours. But it's also full of possibilities to be the difference that people see. So what I'd like to do now, that was the end of my motivational thought with chocolate. I'd like you to just form small groups and just with those around you sitting out there, and you can do this online too, just think about what you're going to be doing this week. Who are you meeting? What are the things that make your heart sink? Where can you be a difference? Where can you be the Jesus difference? Can you be kind? Can you have self-control? Be faithful. Act with integrity. Lift up the downtrodden. Speak for those who don't have a voice. Be thankful. How can you be the supply chain for grace for a world that is hurting and broken?